because when you look up perfect in the dictionary, you find a picture of me. And only a picture, because words can't even describe. And even a picture tries hard but can never come close to the sheer majesty that I am. Ask me the problem and I will figure it out. But don't beg to differ, because you probably should figure that because I'm the best, my way is the best possible way. I am structured to perform, my body carved, my abs of steel, and quite a good-looking face, if I do say so myself. I don't drink or smoke. I don't choose to blemish this perfectly formed body with an imperfect substance. I don't submit to peer pressure, either. I mean, what would be the point of listening to imperfect people? I don't hit back, I turn the other cheek. I don't steal, lie, or get jealous. I mean, what would I be jealous of? I am perfect. I don't judge. I know everyone's already below me. And I don't rely on friends or family. For they aren't perfect, and they always let me down. But I am perfect. Or am I? You see, I give because it makes you look good. And of course I love. But I love myself most of all. And I've been given talent. But I only use that talent to raise myself higher. And I'm a good person. Because I was told being a good person makes you more likable. And yes, I act humble. But it's just a show for others to see. I lie, I steal, I hit back, and I get jealous. Especially of people that know where they're going in life. For it's clear that I'm not perfect. Rather, when you look up imperfect in the dictionary, you see a scratch where I tried to cover up the letters to my name. But here lies my problem. For so long, I've tried to be perfect. Thinking that the big man upstairs out told me something for my great life. But this is not the case. For it is when I think I am perfect. It is when I think I deserve something, that my pride destroys my ability to be without sin. So if the only way to being perfect makes me worship myself, then where does that leave me? It leaves me with the ability to do nothing, absolutely nothing, and let grace do everything. All the things that I ever do mean nothing and do nothing. For the more I try, the more I raise myself and lower God. But the Father has given me a grace that abounds my selfish pride. So it's when He takes over. It's when I lower myself and raise Him. It's when I do absolutely nothing. It's when I'm wrapped in His grace, allowing Him to do everything, that the I am makes me perfect.
For living such a good life, for being perfect, for being a good person. However, when I did this, my pride threw me into far deeper sin than I ever thought. So what should I do? Do nothing and let grace do everything. God has saved us from our pride and saved us from ourselves. So the only way to being perfect is through Him. It is when the I am makes us perfect. Paul said this in Galatians 3:10. He said, "But those who depend on the law, that is their good works, to make them right with God are under His curse. For the scripture says, 'Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law.'" And Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." That's when we're willing to admit it. "So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me." Listen, those who depend on the law, those who are depending upon their good works, their good intentions, are under God's curse. Not just any curse, but God's curse. Our good works, our good deeds are never going to be sufficient. Now put yourself in the place of the early disciples and the others who are listening to Jesus preach. They had grown up, think about it, from the time they were little, they were preached the law. They were taught the law to observe all these rules and commands in order to please God. They believed obedience to the law, to the rules, and that their works would make them right with God. In other words, their own self-righteousness. Much like this guy in the video game, in this video, as he expressed himself, "I am perfect." When in reality, he acknowledged he was not. Much like this guy in the video who claimed to be perfect because of his works, only to come to the realization that pride had become a snare that entrapped him. And we all fall into that same trap. We would really, really, really rather be self-sufficient, wouldn't we? Not having to count on others, let alone having to count on God. But Jesus taught that self-righteousness will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. And apart from God, we are totally lost. It is only by grace that we are saved, and it's very humbling to admit that you need help, even if it's help for salvation. We all want to say, isn't there something, come on, isn't there some loophole or something I can do on my own strength and my own power? Don't I bring anything to the table? The answer is no. I would rather not accept salvation as a gift, because it's a very humbling thing. Going to church will not save you. Reading your Bible will not save you. Praying will not save you. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ will save you. And the only way to win God's approval, the only way that you can do anything to win God's approval, is to put your faith completely in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's it. There's nothing else you can do. That's it right there. Just pursue that. More and more faith in Jesus Christ. This is what will please God. But do we really want His approval more than anything else? Do you really want God's approval more than you want your boss's approval? Do you really want God's approval more than you want your spouse or maybe your children or your friends? Do you really want God's approval more than anything else? And not, do we want to be happy? Because, of course, everybody wants to be happy. That's a natural desire, a God-given desire. But do we truly want God's approval above everything else? And if the answer is yes, then we must accept the condition. If you truly want to be happy, if you want supreme happiness that only God can give, Jesus said, blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is the humble. Now let's look at the background when Jesus begins this passage. In case maybe some of you were here for the first time, we're in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the Beatitudes in the start of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But I want to go back to chapter 4 and just kind of set up the background for Jesus preaching to the disciples and all those who are listening to him. Jesus in chapter 4, Jesus had recently, he had just called his first disciples, two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew. He said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And later he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them, come too. They immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. Now after he called his disciples, come follow me, and he's got four of them with him right now, Jesus is traveling throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, and if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. This is how Jesus began his ministry. Going out preaching and teaching the gospel, healing, casting out demons. It says that large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, from the 10 towns, Jerusalem, and all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. That's a wide swath. So all these people are following Jesus. And here we have, in chapter 5, the first recorded sermon of Jesus Christ. Even though, again, he's been preaching for a while. On that day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. Much like that picture up there, I imagine. Began to teach them. In verse 3, he says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In the Amplified, this word poor means those that are devoid of spiritual arrogance. Those that come to the table realizing I have nothing to offer. Those who regard themselves as insignificant. Now remember, his audience, if I shared with you guys last week, his audience, this poor in spirit, Jesus was quoting Psalm 37:11. When in Psalm 37:11 it says this, the Anawim will inherit the earth. and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Now remember, this group of people, the Anoim, okay, when the nation of Israel was captured, way back when, the northern kingdom, by the Assyrians, okay, all of the wealthy and intelligent and useful and every person who had any value whatsoever was hauled off into exile. And the people who were left behind were the poor and the widows and the helpless. They were pathetic. They weren't even good enough to be slaves. This is what that word Anoim means. It's those people. So Jesus is speaking to these people. He's saying, blessed is the Anoim, those who are poor and realize their need for God. In Psalm 9:18, it says this, the Anoim will not always be forgotten. And you know when they're remembered? They're remembered in the hearing of this message. Jesus is proclaiming to the Anoim, God bless you. God make you supremely happy and content and delighted because you were humble. Now Jesus himself, as our example, set an excellent example for this. Jesus, the Son of God, was poor in spirit. Although he was Almighty God with all the rights and privileges of deity, he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. And he continued in Philippians 2, you must have the same attitude Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So Jesus is our example. If Jesus could humble himself, and that's the condition for being blessed by God, that's a great example for all of us to follow, isn't it? There are some other really good examples in Scripture. The Apostle Peter, listen to this. Jesus is preaching. The crowds are pressing in on him. And what's he do? He steps onto Peter's boat. Steps onto Peter's boat and finishes preaching. And he tells him to go out and let's throw out your nets in deeper water. And Simon replies, Master, we have worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. In verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. Jesus replied to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Now, what quality did Jesus see in Peter? What quality did he exhibit when he said, Leave me. I am such a sinful man. It was humility, wasn't it? Do you suppose that this is the quality that convinced Jesus? This is the one. This is the one. I'm going to build my church upon his confession. This is the one who's going to preach the very first sermon that's going to stir a crowd of 3,000 to accept me in one day. This is the quality that all of us have to have if we want to be blessed and live a supremely happy life, a life of humility. I know it's just the opposite of what we want. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to do it ourselves, don't we? Well, here's the negative example in Scripture. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 18. It says, Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like these other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who are poor in spirit will be supremely happy. Now, what is the difference between these two men? I mean, I know it's pretty obvious, right on the surface. One is full of pride and self-righteousness and arrogance. And the other approached God in humility. One was accepted and one was rejected. This is the bottom line. God will make you supremely happy if you will humble yourselves and admit your need for Him. If you want God to make you supremely happy, you must accept the truth that your good deeds and your good intentions are unable to make you right with God. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever held a brand new baby? Maybe one that's an hour old? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, lots of you. Maybe a day old or a week old? Come on, that's got to be the rest of you. Come on. All right. Now listen, would you say a baby is utterly helpless? Yes, a baby is utterly helpless. A baby is utterly helpless to do what? Give me an example. Somebody. Walk, baby, huh? Eat, feed themselves, talk. What's that? Use the bathroom, can't take, yep. That's something we wish they could do right off the bat, right? A baby is utterly helpless. They are not able to do anything for themselves. Now imagine, if you truly believed that you were completely helpless, and you put yourself in a position of an infant, and that you needed God today, right now, walking out those doors to have a good attitude, to be friendly, to not have an hateful attitude. If right now you said, I really need Him for every moment of every day. I need Him to have a good life. I need Him to have a good day. I need Him to treat people well, to be kind to a stranger. I need Him to help me make good decisions, important decisions with my time and my money. Now imagine if you actually spent time asking God for wisdom. God, give me your wisdom. I don't know what to do about this situation. Help me to make good choices. Lord, protect me from temptation. Temptation from without and the temptation from within. What if you really believed you're totally dependent and helpless like a little infant? Help me to make good choices. Deliver me from evil. William Barclay said this, if a man has realized his utter helplessness and has put his whole trust in God, there will enter into his life two things which are the opposite sides of the same thing. Number one, he will become completely detached from things. For he will know that things have not got in them, have not got it in them to bring happiness or security. And two, he will become completely attached to God, much like an infant would to his or her mother. He will become completely attached to God, for he will know that God alone can bring him help and hope and strength. Now that is an important word. The man who is poor in spirit is the man who has realized that things mean nothing and that God means everything. Now as we get ready to close, worship team can come forward, the elders come forward. As we get ready to close, I want you, before we go to communion, or as we're meditating on the communion, I want you to seriously ask yourself the question, do I see myself as an infant, a brand new baby, utterly helpless on my own? Or do I see myself in my own human strength, my own will, my own determination, my own self-sufficiency? How do you see yourself? Are you totally dependent upon God, or only somewhat? Are you attached to the things of this earth? Are you storing up on this earth treasures that will not last, where moth and rust will destroy? Only you can answer that question for yourself if you will be quiet and meditate and reflect. Are you dependent? Are you attached to the things of this earth, or are you attached to God? Because right now is an opportunity to change that if you're in the wrong. Right now, in your heart, I'm ready, Lord, to let go of the things of this world. And I'm ready to grab a hold of you with both hands and not let go. If you are completely attached to God, do everything in your power to stay connected to Christ. Get rid of things that could distract you or discourage you. Make it a priority to meditate on His Word and spend time praying every day. Say, Lord, I am dependent upon You. And you know how you prove you're dependent upon God? You prove it when you spend time asking Him and talking to Him. Wishful thinking is not going to get you there. Now, if you're here today and you have never truly trusted Christ for your salvation, for your life, why are you waiting to put your trust completely in Him? He loves you. He wants to make you supremely happy if you will come to Him in humility. He will make you into the person that He wants you to be if you will surrender and stop trying to be a good person and stop trying to earn your own salvation on your own merit. As we come before the Lord in communion, let those thoughts permeate your mind. Truly reflect on your dependence and your attachment. Where are you today? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank You for this word. Thank You, Lord, for calling us into Your family. Thank You for the hope that we have, not because of our works or anything that we can do, but because of Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, as we come before the table, I pray that every heart and every mind is focused on this question, these two questions. Am I self-sufficient or am I dependent? Am I attached to the things of this world or am I detached? And Lord, for the heart that knows that they're in the wrong right now, I ask You to give them a tender, a repentant heart that would yield and surrender to You and make You Lord over their life. In Jesus' name, amen.